Good morning. Welcome to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Hey, Keith, how you doing this morning?
I am fantastic, except the Masters is over.
Yes.
The Heritage is behind us.
And by the way, you don't remember this, but you called the winner.
Oh,
Scotty
I did.
Scheffler.
That's right. On the air.
You did.
That's
you didn't
right.
go to Vegas and put a lot of money on it?
No. It's unusual. Last time, first player.
Yeah.
First-time participant one was Fuzzy Zeller in the 70s, I think.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I you know, when Scheffler was looking like he was going to win, I thought about Keith Clark, and I said, you know, he called the winner on
and
that.
And it was wire-to-wire, wasn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. I think it was pretty much wire-to-wire. He's a really good golfer.
Oh, he strikes it. What a great representative of the southern states, including Texas.
Did you see his post?
I watched it.
Yeah, it was very good.
It was fantastic.
I thought it was great. Well, it was a lot of fun. And then
Jordan won the Heritage.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Jordan Spieth. That
by
was
default,
a great ending,
everybody
by the way.
Just fell down.
Everybody else,
I could hear Bob Martin talking about it as they came down the stretch.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, it's, you know, golf a lot of times, and Tiger won a lot of majors this way where people just fell off the bone towards the end. More people lose golf tournaments. It's like baseball. More teams lose baseball games than actually teams go out and win them. Same thing happens in golf a lot of times. People actually end up losing the event rather than winning.
Well, hopefully he'll come back. I didn't get to go this year, but next year I hope to be there. And if he defends, they had a great field.
You
JD.
Usually go to Hilton
I do.
Head, yeah.
It's one of my favorite things in the world to do.
It's a lot of fun. The tournament. So I lived down in Beaufort for a few years back in the 90s when I was green, thought I knew everything and didn't know anything. But we used to go down there a good bit. It's a lot of fun. The atmosphere around that event coming off the Masters, it's sort of a party-like atmosphere. Not so much like Arizona, but different. But,
yeah.
You know, but
casual, laid-back. You can get very close to the players.
Yeah.
There are a lot of venues on the golf course where you can be within 6 or 8 feet of the players.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun for me.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. So, anyway, I bet it was a good time for sure. And it was a lot of fun to watch the Masters. And by the way, Keith, I have found another connection for possible Masters tickets. So I'm going to put it in my pocket until next year. But he told me, he actually called me. He had posted something on Facebook, and I think I made a comment like jealous or something like that.
Right.
He called me, and he said, well, listen, if you really want to go, he goes, I'm going to put you on my short list. And so I'm excited about that.
You know,
that.
You can grease that if you give him a couple of those BMW
I know
clubs.
What I'm doing, yes.
You can nurture that.
Everything is
on
line
the table.
Up for him. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, well, listen, we got a lot to talk about today, Keith. I know we've got the March numbers, which I'm excited to share with everyone. We got some great articles and kind of more of the same in terms of real estate, especially here in the upstate. You know, a lot of activity, low inventory, rising interest rates is kind of creating a unique environment in the real estate market that we really haven't seen in some time.
Yeah, that's the big challenge is the jump in interest rates from roughly 3% to 5.25% over a 90-day period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're going to see, I was very concerned about some structural issues inside the marketplace, but I think this rise in interest rates is going to change the dynamics, and hopefully it'll bring a little more inventory. I don't want to say a little bit of a slowdown, but more normalization to the buyer and seller.
Yeah.
More closer, a move back towards equilibrium,
yeah.
Which we haven't seen in really 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, it'll be I'm kind of anxious to just get it back to normalcy. I don't know what that's defined as, but it'll be very interesting as we move forward. Obviously, our refinance business is really slow to a crawl. We're still doing some. I mean, there's different things that people need money for. It's turned more into a cash out game than it has, you know, obviously the rate and term refinances and that sort of thing. But there's still a few. But obviously about, 70% of what we're closing right now is purchase. And we're getting a lot of pre-qualifications and actually, but, you know, it's still the same thing, you know, trying to get under contract. And we're seeing a lot of different scenarios and strategies in regards to trying to land contracts out there.
Yeah. No, we had an article this morning. We're going to talk about it. But guaranteed close.
Yeah.
Now, when's the last? Cash will do that.
That makes me nervous. Yeah. Cash. Yeah. How much cash you got? That's what I say.
But securing a traditional mortgage with a guaranteed close, that's a new twist on getting a mortgage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to head into our first break of the show. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Have Keith Clark here with the buyer's broker. Of course, our email, if you have a question that you'd like to ask us, we'd love to share that on the air. It's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back here on House Plans talking real estate right after this message. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with me from the buyer's broker. We are talking a little real estate and mortgage lending today. We appreciate all our listeners out there. Lots to talk about in the real estate market. And of course, the we are excited about the March numbers, which sort of shed a light on a lot of things that are sort of going on in the market. And let's start with Greenville, Keith. Looks like we're up 1%, just over 1% for year over year. And that's about kind of what I was expecting a little bit.
It is, JD, based on the inventory. So that is not reflective of demand. Demand
is high.
Is feverish.
Yeah.
But because of the supply, it is constraining the number of transactions. And that brought our year-to-date numbers, year over year, year-to-date, down to a 5% increase.
Yeah.
Median price is what's scary. Year over year, 18%.
Yeah, 245 to almost 290,000, just south of 290. And that's a huge jump. And that was, you know, I had a conversation. I had breakfast with one of my managers this morning. And, I told him, I said, we're just in shock at how fast our loan sizes have gone up.
Right.
And this is a major driving factor, is the fact that, the median sales price is up, almost $50,000 year over year.
Yeah, and there are some pockets, JD, where the price of a home over the last 36 or 40 months could have went up 50%.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
I mean, that's a big jump.
Now, those are unique circumstances, but would not be uncommon in the Greenville metro area for your home to have gone up 15% a year the last 3 years.
Kind of sounds like a bubble to me.
Well,
I don't want to say
that. Don't say that word.
Well, I'll say this. One thing, I had an interesting conversation with a real estate appraiser this week, and he was not a big believer. One of the things, I'll say this: values are going up so fast, the appraised values and the appraisals that we're getting are not keeping up. So what I mean by that is we're probably getting more low appraisals right now than I can ever remember, and especially on purchase transactions. And I'll give you an example. This particular appraiser was not a big fan of using time adjustments.
Right.
And when we say a time adjustment, what that means is that when they compare a home, a similar home, to a home that's under contract, let's just say, and they're using that comparable, and let's just say it's 9 months to a year old, they can use what's called a time adjustment. And just like we said, in the Greenville market, the median sales price is up 18% year over year. They won't do 18%, but they may make a 3-5% adjustment, based on the time that is, between when the comparable home sold and today. And he has never used time adjustments, said he didn't believe in them and this and that. Well, I had the conversation with him yesterday on a specific deal that we had, and he said, you know what, I'm going to back off my statement on that. Because I've never been in a market, and he's been here in the upstate for a long time. He said, I've never seen appreciation on homes as rapid and as feverish as I've seen here in the upstate.
Yeah, and you almost have to do a price adjustment to get there, because I used to say that the pricing of a home, we call it a right price analysis.
Sure.
And we base that on the historical information, not just one, what we would refer to as a single overpriced listing in the neighborhood.
Right.
But I can tell you invariably, the next home listed will be based on the last and highest sold data in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so the listing agents do not have to justify cumulative data,
right?
Because of the rising prices.
Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy?
It is.
It's amazing to me. I mean, this particular property, the top home that sold in this neighborhood was $176,000, and the contract that we had was 230. And, you know, I had the conversation with our loan officer. I said, you know, are they prepared? And they were putting a good, pretty good amount down. So the deal is going to end up working out. He said, you know, what am I supposed to tell them? I said, well, hopefully they've already had a conversation because, you know, that would be, you know, I can't imagine being a real estate agent not having a conversation.
No, hey, that's a surprise.
We need to be prepared for this appraisal coming in low. Yeah. That's just the market that we're in.
It is. And surprises are what queried the transaction.
Right.
You know, if your client is expecting a short appraisal, which is happening a lot, then it's not a shock to them.
Yeah.
But to get it out of left field unexpectedly can make it very difficult to move forward.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, going back to the numbers, you know, one of the numbers that kind of jumped out to me, I like the percentage of list price received. And, you know, March 21 to March 22 as an example, it doesn't sound like a big jump, but in March of 21, you were at 99.5% percentage of list price received. In March of 22, 101.2%. So the average is you're receiving over asking price.
Yep. That's the market we're in.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Of course, inventory. Some positive news as far as inventory goes. Total inventory, 2,049 in Greenville, and in month supply, 1.4, which is up 7.7%.
Yeah, just a tick up. And with the increase in interest rates and the leveling off of the number of transactions, hopefully you'll see some more inventory going forward.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think between April and September, we'll sort of tell the tale in regards to 2022.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fourth quarter always seems to die off. I wouldn't be surprised if in fourth quarter we see maybe a little less homes sold than we saw in 2021.
Yep.
But between April and September, it will be very interesting. Obviously, year over year, we're still up over 5% in closed sales. But I'll be curious to see how it shakes out here over the next 5-6 months.
Well, I think, you know, we've talked a lot over the last year about where the resistance would come in as interest rates eventually moved up. Now, if you had told us that you'd be quoting 5 or 5 1/8 or 5 1/4 90 days ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And we've talked about it on the air of rising interest rates. They have to rise.
Yeah.
But we would have never expected interest rates. I don't know what that percentage is, but that means the percentage has went up 65% in 90 days.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'll be honest with you, Keith, you know, all the quote-unquote experts with the MBA and people like that, they were saying by the year end 2022, expect it to be around 4%.
Right.
And at the time, it was around 3%. And I remember going, that's a pretty good jump for a year. I don't know if it'll get quite that high. It could. And we just blew by that number and are, like you said, settled in the low fives on 30-year money. And that's a huge jump when you're talking about rates were at 3 and now they're at, you know, 5, 5 1/4. As you said, 67% jump. That's a huge number as rapidly as it happened, which was a 6 to 8 week window.
It's never happened that, by the way, it's never happened that quickly before.
No, that's exactly right.
This is the first time. Statistic.
Well, historical lows, and especially, you know, now you look at it from a 40-year window, a 50-year window, and I tell you rates are in the low fives. That's still a pretty darn good rate. You know, it's shocking for sure.
Yeah, and they're probably, most of the financial gurus are talking about a slowing increase.
Yeah.
So this rapid increase will level off a little bit. So we don't expect 90 days from now for it to go up another 2 points.
Right.
Now, having said that, the Fed is talking aggressively.
Yeah, they are.
But most people think that's, you know, the financial markets have a way of baking in what's going to happen 6 months before it happens.
Right.
And so hopefully we'll see them remain in this 5 1/4, 5 1/2 range throughout the rest of the year.
Well, I can tell you this from a mortgage perspective, Keith, and I think, you know, realtors are the same way. You know, it all makes us very uncomfortable, and it's not a fun conversation to have, you know, when rates are going up so quickly, or if rates go down so quickly, because, you know, we kind of like the slow moving, you know, it just makes everything more comfortable. You know, people can live with, you know, missing out on an eighth of a point, you know, that kind of thing. But when you're having the conversation with someone and they wait and, you know, they call you 4 weeks later and, you know, it's gone from you were telling them four and now it's five. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow.
How about a conversation with your spouse, one saying we should buy last year and one saying we need to wait until this, you know, this is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then so when you get your $300,000 or $400,000 mortgage, the difference in the monthly payment on principal and interest might be a 40% increase of what it would have been 12 months ago.
I got you one better, Keith. How about when mama said, let's go ahead and buy that $400,000 house and you qualified. And now that rates have gone up, you don't even qualify for that house anymore. Now you can only buy $325,000.
That'll make for some rough sailing for about, I'm going to say about 10 years.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just glad I'm not in that bucket. That's for sure. Cause that's not a fun conversation.
Yeah. As I've said many times on there, anybody who bought a house in the last 2 years
looks like a genius. Yes, you're exactly right. I mean, with the interest rate and like you said, you may have overpaid a little bit, but you know, as fast as values are going up, you're already,
yeah.
So what if
you overpaid 10 grand?
Who cares?
You earn that back in 60 days.
10 grand is nothing. In today's market, nothing. So, anyway, it is crazy. Well, listen, let's talk about Charleston real quick, Keith. Kind of interesting, okay? So, you know, year over year down 4.7%, and we've talked about, you know, the Greenville market tends to follow Charleston, usually lags about a half year behind. But one thing I will say is where our inventory did go up a little bit, and we'll see what happens over the next few months. Charleston inventory still continues to drop, and they're only at 0.6 months of inventory.
Yeah. So we're talking about the number of transactions March of this year over March of last year.
Yep.
And year to date, JD, down 6.3%. Now, on the other side of the coin, the increase in the median price year to date, which is the number we like to follow, is 375 over 330. That's up 14%. And then inventory dropping from 1 month's inventory down to 0.6.
Keith.
Yeah.
Nothing for sale.
I hope that doesn't come to the upstate.
Nothing for sale. I mean, you look at that. So you have 1,170 homes that are listed for sale in Charleston, okay? And I assume that's probably April 1st or whatever, you know, whatever day they're pulling
the
those numbers.
Yeah,
okay. And you're selling 2,093 closed sales. I mean, nothing can happen but the numbers go down.
That's right.
I mean, that's the only logical scenario
in that situation.
So, you know, if you're trying to buy a house in Charleston, all I can tell you is good luck.
Strap it on and saddle up because it's going to be rough riding.
Right. And the only way, which is, you know, kind of you see the median sales price going up, you know, the only way that you can buy is to overpay.
That's right.
I mean, that's the only way is to take more cash to the table. And if you don't have cash, then you need to start looking at apartments.
Yeah, and don't forget about terms. What kind of terms can you offer the seller that will make them want to do the deal with
you? Right, right.
You know?
Well, yeah, and we talked about...
I wrote one this week, JD, no financing contingency, no appraisal contingency.
Wow.
And it'll come in short.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no doubt. So, very interesting. You know, when I see those numbers down in Charleston, you know, it makes you appreciate the Greenville market, as many challenges as we have. But down there, that's absolutely crazy. We really should get your friend David Kent. We should record a segment with him to share because I'm sure, you know, he's right in the middle of it down there, what he's seeing.
And what's interesting is I talked to David maybe 6 months ago. And at that time, he said, Keith, I'm navigating it pretty well. He said some of our skill sets have made things work better for us.
Yeah.
You know, because he's an exclusive buyer's agent.
Yeah.
One of the best in the country, really.
Yeah.
President of the Board of Realtors down there.
Yeah.
Involved in the National Association of Realtors and very good at his job. And that's what you have to have if you're trying to buy a house.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to head into our bottom of the hour break. We do appreciate all our listeners out there. You're listening to House Plans. JD Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And, of course, the email is askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We love email questions, and we would love to talk about what you like to hear about. So feel free to email us again. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back right after the bottom of the hour break. here on House Plans. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. Talking real estate today. It's probably time for that interest rate update, Keith. We dabbled a little bit in it in the first couple segments. So if you're looking at 30-year fixed, I'm talking purchases at this time, you're really looking at, you know, 5 to 5.25% based on credit score and loan to value and some of those types of things. The 20-year, sometimes you can sneak in the upper fours, and then the 15-year is really looking at those low to mid fours, depending on credit score and all the different things that sort of factor in. But they've gone up so fast, it's been pretty incredible. I found a deal this week. A customer called in for, they had a question about their escrow, and they had closed a 15-year at 1.875.
Wow.
And I had to tell them, I said, listen, you are one of the luckiest people in the world.
Yeah. They need to send you a check, right?
I think we're paying them just to borrow money from us. Anyway, it's
and you know, we talked about it when interest rates were so low. I usually say borrow all you can borrow, because I had a client tell me that one time.
Yeah,
he said they're going to offer me 1.75.
Yeah,
I'm going to borrow every nickel they'll give me.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So interest rates are up a little bit. Historically, though, they're still pretty good. So you know, I would just encourage everyone. And the J.D. Nelson prediction, which by the way, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal has not called me to ask my opinion yet, but I do expect them to sort of flatten out for at least the remainder of the year. Will they go up a little bit? Maybe, or maybe down a little bit, but I expect them to sort of be within 0.25% of where we are. We've had the big run up, and like you said, many times they sort of bake that in, you know, 6 months prior to. And, it's been unprecedented how fast they've gone up so far. It would be really, really unprecedented for them to continue to go up as fast as they did. And I think you'll probably see some governors kind of put on everything, and I expect it to sort of flatten out.
And what about, are you seeing a slowdown in applications for investment properties? What I'm reading is that the investors are still in the game, JD, and even the institutional investors. Neighborhoods are starting to talk about limiting investor purchase inside the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can do that. I don't know the legal ramifications of that, of preventing one class of people from purchasing in single family planned unit developments.
Yep.
But there is some buzz about that, because investors are chasing out the primary residence purchaser.
Yeah. And, what I would tell you, Keith, is that you're probably right. But the main thing that we're seeing is in terms of second homes and investment properties, both, you know, Fannie and Freddie have added such loan level price adjustments to those specific products that it's hard, unless you're really putting a large lump sum down, not to get an attractive rate. Now, for instance, we have a second home client that's putting 30% down, and they have to pay at least 1 point to buy the rate to get the typical, what I would call, you know, standard rate on a 15-year fix. They're still in the upper fours instead of the low fours, and you have to pay a point to get it. So,
but you can buy it down to get it close.
You can to close, but it's just more expensive, you know, to do that. You know, typically a second home used to be priced the same way a primary residence was, but now it's like it's a half point higher in rate, and you have to pay a 1%, you know, origination to get that you know, half point higher. So,
and JD, I've read already that the increase in interest rates have quashed some of the demand for second homes.
Yeah.
Particularly that beach house.
Yes.
That you've already seen a slowdown in that particular area.
Yeah, and you know, obviously cash is king, but in that arena, second homes and investment properties, cash is the ultimate king in that regard. It's if you've got cash and you're putting half down or more, you're probably fine, you know, and you're not going to notice besides the normal increase in rates that we've talked about. It's not going to affect you. But if you're looking at doing 70%, 80% loan to value, it's a hit.
You know, what it makes me think of, JD, I don't know if you remember, but in 2009, we talked a little bit about banker friends walking into your office and saying, you know, we're going to need some cash on that that beach house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the value of that beach house went down 25%.
Yep.
And we have to write that down on the bank's books. And so we're going to need some cash from you.
Right. To match, to match it up.
To make that LTV work on our balance sheet.
Right.
And I remember specifically a friend of mine whose banker was his friend, but when the bank tells you you got to do that, you know what he said? He just said, look, we're partners in this deal, but if you want these keys, you can have them.
Yeah, listen, we'll leave the keys in the front door.
Yeah, if you want that house.
Yeah, they don't want that.
You know, I've always paid you.
You know,
now this, but in the secondary market, it don't work like that.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that you. I remember that conversation very well, and you're right. You know, it's. Hey, listen, we got to work as a team on this thing. Yeah, not a one way street. And at the time, you know, that was the last thing that the bank wanted. They're not in the real estate.
No, game. When they call you and say I got something I need to talk to you about. They're not calling. The bank's not calling you to tell you they appreciate you paying them on time.
No,
they're calling to tell you we need to talk about your loan.
That's exactly right. Well, listen, we got about 3 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to get our other numbers out there real quick before the segment got away from us, Keith. You know, I looked at Spartanburg. So Spartanburg's pretty flat, you know, year over year, 484, 488 over 484. Let's just call that the same number. And up 1.4% for the year. Again, you're seeing the months of supply of inventory down 43%, down to less than 1 month inventory in Spartanburg. And, of course, percentage of list price received over 100% as well. Kind of interesting. And look at that median sales price for Spartanburg jumping up.
Yeah, and you know, Spartanburg's beginning to accelerate in growth. They got a lot of good things going on in Spartanburg.
Yeah.
And you're seeing some of the things that historically held Spartanburg back are changing. And the growth in the Greenville metropolitan area is spreading all around our five-county area. And so the one thing, I'm hoping that next month that'll be an adjustment. Because of the size of the market, sometimes those numbers are a little bit exaggerated month to month.
Yeah.
So maybe next month we'll see that inventory increase a little bit.
My memory is not very good, Keith, but I can remember a day in the Greenville MLS back when we were kind of hitting kind of the bottom down in maybe 07, 08, 09, 10, maybe in there. Our numbers weren't too much larger than what Spartanburg's doing now. So that tells you how far they've kind of come along.
That's right.
In terms of numbers.
And what a run we've had over the last 10 years.
Yep, that's exactly right. Well, the Western Upstate, Keith, you know, a little bit different market because you're talking about Anderson, but you're also talking about some of the lake properties and that kind of thing. But down 7.9% year over year, 1.5% for the 21 to 22 in total numbers. Inventory down, but up 28% year over year, Keith.
Yeah, and JD, I would tell you that number is reflective. That number of transactions is down. I would tell you that's reflective specifically of what we just talked about in terms of vacation, second homes, and the rise in interest rate, reducing demand in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Of course, you know, we haven't talked about days on market in any of our sort of MLS areas, but all of them are very
all
low.
Down.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, Greenwood up 8.5%. They closed 102 transactions, up 17.4% year over year. Month supply, you know, at 1.8%. Obviously, a pretty small market overall, but kind of the more of the same, you know, down in Greenwood.
It is an increase in number of transactions, and as long as inventory holds up, I think you'll see at least some minor increases, although there's going to be a point if interest rates keep going up. It'll keep pushing demand down.
Yeah, yep. You're exactly right. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the show. We appreciate you listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk about some of the regrets that homebuyers have out there right after this message. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage, talking real estate and mortgage lending today. We got a great group of listeners, and we appreciate you tuning in this morning for sure. And, you know, I should have had Joe cue up Frank Sinatra. You know, what is it? Regrets? I've had a few.
I was thinking the same thing. When we can do a whole show on regrets.
Yeah, we can.
I've got a lot of them.
Listen.
I said,
Everybody has regrets in all phases of life, but there's a lot of buyers that have regrets these days.
My
for
wife
sure.
said, Keith, if you had not made those bad decisions, you and I would not be together now.
What do you say?
I got married late in life.
Well, you know, what you do is you just hold your head down and
say, it's true, honey.
Yeah, that's exactly
you're
right.
You're exactly right.
Well, you know, you had a great article that you found, and, you know, we're kind of, you know, we hear this, you know, you kind of hear things, and but this talks about almost 70% of buyers recently surveyed say they have at least one regret about their home buying experience. And this is according to Buyer and Seller Insights Report of 2022. And, you know, the biggest regrets are what they paid for their home and the home maintenance. And, you know, it's kind of the old FOMO, what they call it, fear of missing out.
Yep.
You know, and that is front and center. And, you know, it's so feverish. You got a fear of missing out. And people are just kind of regretting some of that decisions after they kind of get moved.
Well, let me talk about that, JD, because we've had so many multiple offer deals over the last couple of years. I always tell clients, if we secure the contract on this home in this multiple offer deal, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because you feel like you left some money on the table.
Right.
Okay. And if you miss this home, you're going to be disappointed because you didn't put more on the table.
Right.
And so it's a no-win situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's part of what this survey is about. Now, I hear things differently than most people, JD. So when I see that, what I think about is process.
Mm-hmm.
The process the buyer is going through to prepare themselves for pulling the trigger, defining their goals and objectives, understanding the data, doing a right price analysis, being fully informed and being able to evaluate the target property. So I view all that as part of a poor process,
right,
for lack of a better
right
term.
Right. Well, you know, it's I think when we talk about having a regret for what you paid for the home, that is very understandable in today's market.
It is.
We talked about, you know, the average contract price, the list price being over 100%, which to me is just unbelievable. But, you know, you have to go in strong with offers to land a contract.
And many people, JD, have already missed 3, 4, 5 houses.
Right.
So that emotion that's churning makes them make this help. Encourages them to make decisions that are not just based on the facts.
Now, and I'll tell you this, you know, there's nothing worse than being in a, you have to sleep somewhere, Keith.
Yeah.
You have to live.
You have to have a home
somewhere
to live in.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if you're in a situation where you can't find a home to live in, you have a family of 4.5 people or whatever the average is these days in America, and you got, you know, 2 dogs and 3 fish, you know, an apartment may not work.
Yeah, that 1,200 square foot apartment won't do it. And by the way, guess what? One of the articles that we didn't get to was the rents, how high rents are.
Yeah.
So even at 5%, you might be paying less than you would in renting a comparable property.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just uncharted waters for sure. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talk about price, and I think everybody understands, you know, there's a lot of things in life that you pay your hard-earned money for, and then after you get it, you're like, gosh, you know, I probably shouldn't have done that. You know, I mean, we all have things, you know,
sure,
in life that we've had.
Sure. Particularly when they depreciate
in
value.
Over time. Yeah.
Now, the good news is most real estate over the long term is going to be appreciating assets.
That's exactly right. But one of the regrets that they list here is home maintenance. And, you know, that's just something that is kind of I'll say it's a phenomenon that sort of started happening here in the last 6 or 8 months, especially where people are buying houses as is. They may get a home inspection, but they're not requiring repairs. You know, there's a lot of those types of things that are happening. And of course, once you get into a house, and Keith, I remember when I bought my house and we walked through it the first time, and the first time you see it, you have stars in your eyes and this is great and blah, blah, blah. the second and third time you walk through the house, you start seeing the warts a little bit. And I can promise you, you know, I compare it to this, Keith. All right, when I was out at Napa last month, and, you know, we were drinking, you know, the reserve cab, okay? And the guy looked at me and said, listen, if you don't like it right here, you're not going to like
it
at home.
Because
yeah. Listen, this is as good as this wine's going to taste. You know, this is the guy selling us the wine.
That's right.
He said, I promise you, if you don't like it here, you're definitely not going to like it at home. Same thing when it comes to a house. If you see the warts, and maybe you're only viewing a house one time, you know, this is as good as this going to be. I mean, there's going to be things that you're going to need to repair,
that's right,
or whatever.
And you better have an agent who's going to point those things out to you.
Right.
While you're viewing the property, or at least immediately after. This home maintenance issue is, and I talk to clients about it, JD, about when they're purchasing a home. Most people who've owned a home, they know it's a full-time job.
Yeah.
Taking care of it.
Right.
But if you've never owned a home before, you just don't know that. Not to mention all the equipment that you have to purchase to take care of it, mm-hmm. as well as the time you spend on YouTube trying to figure out how to do that repair.
Yeah, right.
So that you don't have to call somebody that's going to charge you $500 to adjust the door, the back door,
right.
hinges.
Right, right. Well, you know, there's a thousand things that
just like that.
Just like that. You know, and I can understand, you know, it would be very frustrating to buy a home and overpay $40,000 for the home or whatever the number may be. And then you get moved in there. And then all of a sudden you have to have a team of experts come in just to fix all the different things that need to be fixed to get it up to where, you know, because you want to move in, you want it to be a great house. You know, you moved in, the family's here.
And you love it when you see it.
Absolutely.
At first, there's a lot of excitement and emotion in purchasing your first home.
Yeah.
But learning how to take care of it is, that's a different animal.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Now, they're
right.
Good, particularly first-time home buyers that looking at YouTube, they can figure it out. Of course, you got to go buy the tool at Lowe's along with the materials, and then you have to take those materials back and buy the right materials to go back and,
right.
and do the job.
Yeah.
And then undo it and do it again.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like, you're exactly right. So, you know, we're turning one of our bedrooms into a nursery. It reminds me of Jennifer got on Amazon and ordered all this baby stuff that we had thrown out. You know, Drew's been done with that for 15 years. Brought all this baby. So I spent Monday night this week putting together a crib and diaper changing station. Keith, there were 1,000 different parts and everything's got to be, you know, and I'm happy to say Jennifer was even astonished. She was like, you are so patient now compared to where you were 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's like putting together Christmas presents before Christmas morning.
Oh, my
morning. You know,
yes.
when you're younger,
yes.
you have
like
to do
wheel.
All that. You got to get that schematic out, get the tools out.
Oh, my gosh.
And read patiently.
Yes. I thought grandpa duty.
Now, YouTube is the best place to start.
No, it is. It is. And I'll tell you this. They had a QR code, I think it's called, you know, that I could just put my phone right up to it. It pulled the video up, and it kind of gave you some pointers go into that deal. I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, I can't imagine back in the day spreading out the, you know, and all the instructions come in 17 different languages now. So, I mean, I'm just trying to find what I can actually read.
It's like putting together a Star Wars Lego set.
Exactly. Yeah. And not knowing anything about Star Wars, you know. So, well, you know, you mentioned this, Keith, too. Single family rents continue to break records. So, you know, we talk about, you know, the regrets that a lot of buyers have, and they're overpaying for houses and the home maintenance and all those sorts of things. But, you know, the only other option is to pay record high rent on some of these properties that investors have owned, you know, and that kind of thing. So there's really not an easy answer.
While the price of the home you want to buy continues to go up.
Yeah.
And so if you have to wait till next year to buy it, might cost you 10% more.
Golly, I tell you, NAR would not be happy with the way we're talking right now. We sound negative.
We shouldn't be that way.
We shouldn't. But you know, we're just telling the facts. You know, and
calling it like we see it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, well, listen, you've been listening to House Plans. JD Nelson with County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We got about 2 minutes left in the show. A couple of things I did want to mention too. There's still a lot of people. You know, one of the most important things that you can do right now is get pre-qualified for a home. Make sure you've got all the work that you need to do done before you actually start viewing houses. And we've got people standing online and basically ready to help you at any time. You can call us during the week at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. And we can have you pre-qualified in as little as, you know, a half hour. And I can promise you, or just shoot us an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And we can get you pre-qualified just as quick as anybody else, get you a local pre-qualification letter, which will go a long way in helping you reach your goals and objectives. And, you know, one thing, I haven't mentioned this, but we are actually looking for some loan officers in Anderson, South Carolina. In a perfect scenario, we'll find two, but maybe, you know, we'll start with one if we can find one. And we would love to hire a loan officer, so you can always contact me, J.D. Nelson, at 331-HOME, or email me at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. And I'll tell you, a lot of people think that you have to have experience in mortgage lending, and that's not necessarily true. We're looking for outgoing, friendly, sales-oriented type people, and we can teach you the industry. It takes some time, but we would love to do that. So if you think you may have an interest, and like I say, we're really looking for someone in Anderson right now, so I thought I'd throw that out there, you know, for our listeners
and,
out there.
And what a growing market Anderson is.
It is. It'd be a great time.
You know, we need to go down there, J.D. They're doing some great things in Anderson, downtown Anderson.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
And, you know,
right.
Every time I drive by Anderson, or go over there, you know, Bennett's still in school over there.
Yeah.
That Bosch complex, they build a building every month over there.
Yeah, they do. We need to go down there. And, of course, our friend Jimmy Fowler, now the city exec down in Anderson, just recently promoted at County Bank down to that position. So some nice opportunities. Well, listen, we appreciate you listening in. This has been House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. I'll get that email out one last time. Ask JD, ASKJD, at countybankmortgage.com. We'll be back next week here on House Plans.